scripture reading is Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 33. And in the Pew Bibles, it is page 862. Matthew 13:33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. Praise the Lord.
Okay. We awake yet? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your message this morning. I ask that you touch my lips and that let no word leave them that is not from you. In Jesus' name, amen. When you walk, when you come inside, what is the best smell that you could open the door and come into? I hear cookies, I hear the one I was looking for. Sandy? Fresh baked bread. I know it's 12:15. We're going to make everybody hungry. But just that smell that as it washes over as you walk in, and the warm slices of bread. Just what makes the bread just beautiful and fluffy? The yeast. The leaven. What is leaven or yeast? What is it? Couple different explanations here. A substance, the definitions of leaven, a substance, typically yeast, that is added to dough to make it ferment and rise. A pervasive influence that modifies something or transforms it for the better. It's a noun form. The verb form is cause dough or bread to ferment and rise by adding leaven. And then to permeate and modify or transform something for the better. So the definition, the modern definition that is, of leaven, has something in most cases to do with a positive change. But what is the biblical definition of leaven? Does anybody know? In Matthew 13:33, I got my numbers all mixed up there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, Christ gives his shortest parable, not even a full verse. And another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. We're going to look at leaven today. We're going to look at, as we look at this parable, we're going to see what we can pull from this short little passage here. In the Old Testament, leaven is used quite a few times. First time, well, not the first time, but one of the times is in the book of Leviticus. So we're going to be around in the Old Testament for a little bit, New Testament some. So grab your Bibles. We're going to be moving around some. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. So only things could be brought that there was no leaven in them. Since we're right here in this area, let's look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 14 through 20. So this day shall be with you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. So this is talking about the feast of unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day, at the evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month of the evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since he who ever eats the leaven, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation, whether he is of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Why? What? Say it louder. Sin. Leaven represents sin. Very good. I've got a couple other references here, but we've covered them, Hosea and another one in Exodus. They all talk about leaven being removed from the dough. You can't have leaven because leaven represents sin. And in the New Testament, we also have the references to leaven. Matthew chapter 16, verse 11. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So we need to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Again, that's what? The misleadings, the falsehoods of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The leaven of the And then again in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So, what is the leaven that we've covered in the New Testament? Is it good or is it bad? It's bad. We need to get rid of the leaven. It's the sin. It's the, if we read here in 1 Corinthians in particular, it talks specifically earlier about sexual immorality. That's the sin that needs to be put out, put it away from you. Get rid of it, because a little bit leavens everything. You know, when you make bread, you just put a teaspoon, depending on how big your batch you're making, in the yeast or in the bread dough, and everything rises beautifully, as long as you didn't mix something up. But what about in Matthew 13? Do you have a question?
No.
A thought?
Comment, yeah. Well, Nick said in the New Testament that good or bad, and in Matthew 13 it's good.
Well, right. I was coming back there.
Yeah, you're right. It's great. So, I guess the overall thing you're, I'm sure, is that just love it is influence. Something that has an effect.
Okay. Okay. The leaven in the Bible is generally used as a negative. You got to get rid of it. You don't want it. But in this one instance, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 33, our scripture today. My fingers aren't, there we go. There we found the pages. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now that can't be bad. It's impossible for it to be bad. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now it's easy to look at things that, examples of negative leaven. For instance, the phrase, a bad apple spoils the whole bunch. You know, one little bad thing, you got a whole bunch of them bad. Choose your friends wisely, for you are known by those you are with. You know, if you're hanging out with bad people, something happens, you're going to get sucked into the bad thing, even though you may not have done anything. It's harder to see positive examples of where a few people made a big change. The most obvious one is the 12 disciples. The 12 men, I believe I pulled this stat a couple weeks ago, but the 12 men, that's Jesus and the 12 men that started the Christian faith, have led to 800 million Christians today. A million? Or is it billion? Billion. Million. 800 million. Another one, a little more modern, the civil rights movement. Freedom from slavery. There was a few people, but yet their effects are still felt today. They've changed the thought process, especially here in America. A few people doing what's biblically correct have changed the thought process of a nation. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Which woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. You know, we've got to be careful what we let into our lives, don't we? If we let bad influences in, it doesn't take long and it's changed our outlook. What's that? It's warped our brains. Even one small thing that is kept or harbored or not forgiven, it keeps us out of heaven. Doesn't take, you know, you don't have to be a murderer. You just have to not ask forgiveness for one thing. God permeates our lives. You know, who's made bread? I'm sure everybody's made bread. Even Howard at some point. You know, you make the bread, You've put the leaven in, you get it set in loaves or maybe even just in a bowl. At this point, you get it in a bowl, cover it, walk away for a little while. What's it do? It doubles. And you know, we can, there's several different ways to make it, but sometimes you take it off and you beat it down, and you separate it and put it in, and what do? You wait, and what happens? It rises again. You could do that several times, and what's going to happen every time? It keeps rising. God, the kingdom of heaven, is like leaven. It's going to rise unless we stop it, beat it down. And it, until we are cooked, it's not set. Pun intended. Until Christ seals us, one way or the other, he's still going to rise in our lives. But God does not force anything on us. Book of Revelation. Chapter 3. Verse 20. Behold. I still hear pages, I'll stop. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, who? Anyone. Not specific. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and come in to him or her and dine with him and he with me. You know, God will rise in our lives unless we stop him. And he stands at the door and knocks. What do? We just have to let him in. He permeates everything. All human ailments, no matter what it is. Smoking, he can give you victory. Sexual sin, He can give you victory. Thinking too much of yourself, He can give you victory. Not giving Him enough time, He can change your life, give you victory over that. Thinking you're perfect, He can change that as well. All of us have some kind of ailment. You know what yours is. I'm not going to begin to pronounce on you. But Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And if who hears Him? Anyone hears Him. And opens the door. He says, I will come in and dine with Him. What's really cool about that verse is it's not just that He's going to eat with us. It finishes with, and He with me. God's not going to stand there and eat while we serve Him. We're going to sit down together at a meal and let Christ wash over us. That's my desire, is it not? Yours? To let Christ wash over us? He's knocking. Do we want to open the door? Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank You for the short little parable, for the Bible, for the fact that You are always at our heart's door, knocking, waiting for us to let You in. Father, please help us to open the door, because we are weak. We want to change, be with You, be like You. I thank You for Your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.